The president of the New York Fed responds to criticism his team needs to be tougher on Wall Street firms.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the job of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York to regulate powerful Wall Street banks. It's not the only regulator, of course, yet it is a crucial one. But has the New York Fed become too deferential to the financial institutions it watches over, too cozy? This question moved to the foreground after the public radio program This American Life with news organization ProPublica obtained audio recordings made secretly inside the New York Fed. The recordings were made by a then New York Fed employee who would later sue for wrongful dismissal. Marketplace talked to the president and CEO of the New York Fed about this. William Dudley, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
We all heard some tapes on the radio that make it sound like your team went soft on at least one big Wall Street firm that you're supposed to be regulating. Is that not what you hear on the tapes?
I completely stand behind the work and integrity of our staff. They're operating completely in the public interest, so that'd be the first point I'd make. And second, improving supervision has been and remains a priority for me. When I became president of the bank in 2009, soon after that, I commissioned Professor David Byam of Columbia to come in and do an evaluation of supervision.
He did that big internal report that you got to look at that came out in some filings, yeah.
That's correct. And I basically told him, go anywhere you want, ask any questions you want, and tell me what you think about the state of play and supervision in the bank. And I think the record will show we were actually quite responsive to the recommendations in the Byam report. We've had a significant reorganization within our supervision groups in terms of how we do supervision. We do a lot more horizontal and quantitative reviews. Examiner independence is completely paramount to how we run supervision. We try to ensure that independence by rotation so people don't stay in the same institution indefinitely. We rotate them every couple of years. But the real key is, you know, look at what we've done. Is the banking system safer and sounder today than it was 5 years ago? And I think if you look at that, you'll see a whole bunch of things that the Federal Reserve System's done to make the banking system much safer and sounder. Higher capital requirements, higher liquidity requirements, capital surcharges for systemically important financial institutions.
Well, here's the thing, though. We study it in poli-sci class, the tendency of government regulators to adopt the values of those they regulate. The watchdogs can become, what were we taught? The term is captured. Now, avoiding capture, I was thinking about this. It seems to me that it's something that you don't achieve once and for all. Isn't it something that you continually have to fight against?
In terms of the bank culture, you know, this is something that you're always, you never arrive at your destination of the culture that you absolutely are trying to strive for. And we continue to work to have the best culture in the bank that we can possibly have. When I became president of the bank in January of 2009, I came back to the bank after an FOMC meeting. We had a town hall, and I made it very clear then. In fact, the primary mantra of that address was best idea wins. And we continue to strive to make sure that that is embedded in the culture of the bank.
Now, you saw what Senator Elizabeth Warren said in a statement, quote, when regulators care more about protecting big banks from accountability than they do about protecting the American people from risky and illegal behavior on Wall Street, it threatens our whole economy. And then she and Senator Sherrod Brown have called for a congressional investigation. What do you think of that idea of an investigation, given the stakes are quite high in this area?
It's the Congress's prerogative to investigate. And if they want to investigate, we're going to completely cooperate because we think the facts are very much on our side.
William Dudley, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Mr. Dudley also told me there is room to be patient before he would recommend raising interest rates to thwart inflation. If you missed that portion of the interview on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org along with the rest of our Marketplace Inflation Calculator series. Now let's check markets. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up at the moment. The 100-share index in London is up 0.1%. The Hang Seng stock index in Hong Kong rose 1.1% as pro-democracy protests thinned out and traffic flowed today. Talks between the government and student protesters are ongoing. The euro is up 0.3% to $1.2556. In Brazil, the incumbent president Dilma Rousseff now faces a tough runoff election after a more pro-business candidate did much better than expected in voting yesterday. The candidacy of the centrist had been practically written off at one stage in the campaign, with attention focused on a third upstart candidate who fizzled. The Brazilian economy has weakened under the incumbent as capital moved away from emerging markets like Brazil. Some middle-class Brazilians took to the streets over the past year to protest poor government services. The BBC's Ira Davis is covering this.
Dilma Rousseff greeted her supporters after this rollercoaster campaign like a winner, but this election is far from over. With just 42% of the vote, the incumbent president warned her followers they risk jeopardizing 12 years of Worker Party rule if they vote against her in a second round at the end of October. Dilma Rousseff may have a strong record on providing generous welfare policies, but she's also accused of driving the economy towards recession. And the man who many voters have turned to is Aécio Neves, the business-friendly former state governor, who came within 10 percentage points of beating Ms. Rousseff. The big loser in the first round was Marina Silva. A month ago, she was favourite to become Brazil's next president, but attacked for policy inconsistencies, and without a big party structure, her support fell away.
The next election day in Brazil is October 26th. And in Latin class, they used to teach that Gaul as a whole is divided into three parts. Hewlett-Packard, it seems, will divide into two. One of the founding companies of California's Silicon Valley will reportedly do a bit of mitosis and split into computers slash printers on one side and its digital services business on the other. While the company isn't commenting, the Wall Street Journal today says an announcement could come as early as today. Beleaguered HP's market value is about a ninth of Apple's and a sixth of Microsoft's. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.